deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lying deep inside your subconscious, it's time for a big, scary show.
Hey, this is Pastor John from Transylvania Transport Company, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Matt Mayhem.
And Robbie Whiplash
from the recently deceased. You're listening
and
to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Scary Larry from Trails to Terror, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is Virgil, Master of the Ether Muse, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is the instrumentalist Jerry Vane, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
And thank you for tuning in to The Big Scary Show After Dark, public radio's most soothing and jazz-inspired show for the haunt industry. This week, we are taking you on a journey of the senses. We are focusing on everything you hear through music. We have coverage of the Heavy Rebel Weekender. We have a gruesome giveaway winner. And we have a fantastic conversation for you to settle into that beanbag chair and listen to as we talk everything music in the haunt industry, going from the creation and composition of music to how it can best be used in different scenarios in a haunt. We're going to talk with our own hauntstrumentalist, Jerry Vane. We bring on Virgil Franklin. And for the first time on The Big Scary Show, we have Scary Larry Wilhelm, the general manager of Trails to Terror. So we'll get a wide range of ideas and ways things happen for music through our roundtable conversation this week. We also have your classics and favorites coming in with Deadline News to keep you groovy and up to date on everything that's going on in the industry, a haunt minute, face your fears, and we've left the musical selection to Jerry Vane so you can continue on this fantastic groovy journey. So cats and kittens, get ready, cause it's The Big Scary Show After Dark.
This is Tater with a Tater News Network exclusive. Weird Al has seemed to release another album, parody hits and original songs. Meanwhile, back in Jerry Vane's studio, he's still trying to be relevant and dusting off the cobwebs of his guitar. It's okay, Jerry. We'll still go to you for all the haunt rock music. Until then, we're parodying out with Weird Al.
It's the day after Halloween, and you didn't get a chance to visit all the haunted houses you wanted to see. Now you have to wait 11 long months. Isn't there anything you can do? Of course there is! You can go on the legendary Haunt Tour! Join us in New England this November and experience three world-class haunted attractions for one low price, including Nightmare New England, Haunt Overload, and Fright Kingdom. Your ticket price includes tours of all the attractions and two evening parties. As a bonus, there will be an option to explore historic Salem, Massachusetts. For tickets, hotel information, and more, visit LegendaryHauntTour.com, and we'll see you in November in New England. The Legendary Haunt Tour is brought to you by Transworld and Netherworld Haunted House.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here live at the Heavy Rebel Weekender, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That was for you, Robbie.
Yeah.
We're talking with all the cool kids, all the bands. Just watched the recently deceased, no strangers to the show, do another kick-ass set. A little bit cool stuff they put on the stage this year. They've decorated it all up with the cool Halloween, the skulls, the graveyard scenes and everything. Getting more and more into that. I guess you would call it horror rock, psycho rock, whatever you want to call it. It says psycho rock on a flyer. We'll use that.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Absolutely. Matt Mayhem, Robbie Whiplash, and the new guy, Jeremy. Well, Jeremy Phoenix. We'll go like that. Gentlemen, great set as always.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Absolutely.
So what's going on? I know you guys just wrapped up a big tour, and you got some things coming up in the next few months.
We just did the East Coast again, New Hampshire to Southern Florida, everything in between, every major city. Which we often like to do.
I didn't see in Charlotte. You said major cities. Never mind.
Major cities.
Did we play Charlotte?
We played Charlotte.
Would you hit the Milestone?
Yeah, the Roots.
Yeah, that
Roots.
Oh, you went to the Roots. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were there on a Monday night.
It was Monday night, and there was like 70 people in that place. It was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for letting me know, guys.
Yeah, it happens.
Bastards. Anyway. You're wrapping up the tour, and now what's going on?
Well, we just did the tour to support the release of Never Trust the Living, which is the new album available on 1332 Records. We have new merchandise, new songs. We're writing the next album. This fall, we're going back into the studio again to release the next album with Jeremy on the drum kit now. We finally have a permanent drummer, no more hired guns.
Yes!
Thank God.
What's it like being a permanent drummer now?
It's pretty excellent. Excellent.
And it's his first Heavy Rebel this year.
I
still don't see the Virgin hat.
Well, I broke it in pretty good last night, staying up till what, 9 o'clock in the morning?
That seems to be okay. You may be probationary. We'll work on it.
Hey, there we go.
So the reason for bringing up all the cool, elaborate theatrical sets now with the skulls and the giant statues and all that?
The thing is, we've wanted to do this for a long time, and we have... We just want to go big, like just big and big and big. Like
go big or go home. Right?
Exactly.
It's really been a matter of like we've been wanting to do it, and now we actually sat down and made it happen. We've talked about it for so long, and then during the album writing process and album recording process, we in between that we built the set that we have. We got the big, what is it like 10x10, the big 10x10 backdrop, the side drops. The 8-foot Reapers, who we broke one of their necks tonight, so he's dead.
Dolph Lundgren,
we killed him.
Yeah. Their names are Dolph Lundgren and George Takei.
Yep. Oh, very nice.
Yeah. I don't know how or why they got those names, but somehow they just got those names.
Did you build those yourself, or you sculpted them, or what?
No, I didn't sculpt them. Someone gave me the heads. Our good friends, the Sonic Creeps, they had some leftover props from their stage show.
Here, have a couple of giant skulls.
Yeah.
That's what friends are for. Great.
So I made the bodies. We put them on the stands, and I still got to make some arms for them yet. And I want to talk to you later on about getting some animatronics.
Yes, I understand you're looking for some animatronics. Yeah, if only there were some people listening here that knew how to build some hydraulics and some pneumatics and some stuff.
But, yeah, we're doing a big stage show now, big light show, doing the fog machine, by the way, since we're speaking about the fog.
Fog machines?
Foggy's Fog. I gotta say this. I love it.
Froggies is a proud sponsor of our show. Quit name dropping.
It's the best stuff out there. And if you guys want to endorse us, we will gladly take that.
Hey, no plugs. No plugs.
Anyways, we'll endorse your product anyway. We stand by the stuff we like, and, you know, it's good stuff. But, no, we're doing a full light show, full stage show. We've got, you know, like the two Grim Reapers. And this is all to support this album with the graveyard scene. The next album, we're
going to
kind of do
to
a...
Hell.
Yeah, we're going to hell. We're going to do... It's going to be loosely based off of our last full U.S. tour of all the bullshit we went through. And pretty much it's going to be kind of like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey done musically.
Oh, awesome.
And then we're thinking about maybe getting in touch with a theater crew or maybe doing a cartoon series or something. Awesome. But the next with the next album release, we'll do a whole new stage show that's hell-themed. And instead of Reapers, maybe we'll do some demons or something. And, you know, just a bigger, better, more badass stage show every time you see us.
Again, if only we knew some people out there that built that kind of stuff that could help help your guys in the stage show.
Wink, wink.
We'll have to discuss after the show here. So for people interested in the new CD, the new release that will be coming out hopefully next year because you're going into the studio later this year, anything else going on as far as touring or the big shows you got coming up? I know there's a big Halloween festival coming up in Virginia, I believe. How can people get a hold of you, website, social media, and find out where you're going to be in, say, the next 3 to 6 months?
They can find us at ReverbNation.com/TheRecentlyDeceased, TheRecentlyDeceased.com. If you just Google The Recently Deceased Band, you'll find us. You'll find everything we got. iTunes, 1332 Records, Spotify. We stream on everything except for Pandora for some reason.
Actually, I think we might be on Pandora now.
It's getting there.
It's getting there.
Look
at
Pandora and we'll find out.
You can get our CD through 1332 Records. You can download it at any place. You can download MP3s. Yeah, we do got some shows coming up. We got a big Halloween fest in Fredericksburg, Virginia coming up. We're always busy around Halloween time. We got a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, just go to the website, www.therecentlydeceased.com, and check it out. Oh, and we have a Facebook as well. Please, if you like what you hear, like us on Facebook.
It's all about getting that number of likes, isn't it? Yeah,
not really. We've done well with what we've got.
We had over like 2,000, and then some crap went down, and our whole Facebook got reset, and then over the course of the last U.S. tour we did,
the
East Coast tour,
again,
so. We went right back to 2,000 people. So
it was like 1,000 in 1 month.
Yeah, it was 1,000 over the course of the 1 month tour. So
nice to have that kind of loyalty there. Well, Matt, Robbie, and Jeremy, the new guy,
and Shaggy, our light guy,
and Shaggy, the light guy. Zoinks! Great having you again once more on the Big Scary Show here at the Heavy Rebel Weekender, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out.
The Recently Deceased. It walks. I'm the Big Scary Show.
Oh,
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start off with this news from Spooky Empire in Orlando, Florida. Michael Rooker has just been added to Spooky Empire's Ultimate Horror Weekend. You all know Michael best as Merle Dixon from The Walking Dead, but he's starred in many films and TV shows, including Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, Days of Thunder, Mallrats, Tombstone, The Bone Collector, Repo, The Genetic Opera, and many, many more. Meet Michael Rooker October 24th through the 26th, 2014 at Spooky Empire. Get your tickets and reserve your hotel rooms today, because they're filling up quick. For more information, visit SpookyEmpire.com. We have this news from 100 Acres Manor in Pittsburgh. 100 Acres Manor Haunted Attraction is proud to announce our partnership with the team from The Zombie Mud Run. We'll be bringing you an over-the-top run-for-your-life zombie run. You'll be chased by bloodthirsty zombies while running in mud and completing obstacles. This will be Pittsburgh's largest and most extreme zombie run, an event you will not want to miss. The race will take place on Saturday, August 16th in South Park, just outside of downtown Pittsburgh, right beside the manor. Find ticket information and more details on how you can run the race or be a zombie feasting upon the runners at thezombiemudrun.com and click on locations. We have this news on a remake of the movie Predator. 20th Century Fox is reviving its Predator franchise with Shane Black attached to direct and write the treatment, while Fred Decker would handle scripting duties. While it didn't come as a surprise that Fox wanted to put together another entry in one of its staple film series, it was excellent to hear that Black, who wrote and directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Iron Man 3, would be steering the ship. While the initial report says that Black's new Predator film would be a reboot, Black tells us that he and Decker see the project as definitely not a reboot. As far as Fred and I are concerned anyway, Black says, adding, why start over when you've got all this rich mythology yet to mine? Black says he doesn't like reboots generally, but can really get behind inventive sequels, noting that he likes the idea of expanding and exploring the existing Predator mythology rather than hitting the restart button. He went on to say that Decker, who's writing the screenplay, is perfect for the project, adding the two had a blast writing the screenplay for The Monster Squad together. Indeed, the result of their previous collaboration makes the prospect of a new Predator film even more enticing. No release date has been set for this film, but we will keep you updated as we find out. We have this unusual story on a potential world record for tubing down a river. There is a world record for people linked up and tubing down a river, and Portland, Oregon holds this world's event. But Asheville, North Carolina is going to try to beat the world record for number of linked up tubers, but this lively competition has a very undead twist. The Asheville group wants to break the record, dressed like zombies. A new Facebook page launched, Tube Apocalypse, Zombie Float and World Record Attempt, to help rally hordes of the floating dead for the September 20th event. According to the page, this event will be in conjunction with Western North Carolina Alliance and French Broad Riverkeeper and will be an organized event. Asheville Adventure Rentals, AAR, is on board as the official River Outfitter sponsor. Logistics and such are currently being worked out, so check this event often on Facebook for updates on how they're going to pull it off. As of a few days ago, about 350 people say they will attend. The current record is for more than 600 people. But for more information, maybe even to sign up, visit their Facebook page. And good luck. We have some news from MonsterCon in San Antonio, Texas. We are now taking entries for our third annual Zombie Pinup Pageant for MonsterCon. We still have slots available. A $35 entry fee secures your spot in the pageant. Special effects makeup will be provided by Makeup Artistry by Creeping Beauty, Inc. This pageant is for anyone 6 years of age and up. You supply your own costume. This pageant will take place at the Wonderland of the Americas, September 6th and 7th. Sign up today at 210-835-4086 or visit facebook.com/txmonstercon. We have a bit of hiring news from the Baxter Avenue Morgue in Louisville, Kentucky. It's haunting time again. The Baxter Avenue Morgue will be holding its annual cast call. Cast call will be held Friday, August 1st, from 7 to 9 p.m.
and again on Saturday, August 2nd from 2 to 5 p.m. Auditions will be held in the basement of the Baxter Avenue Morgue at the rear entrance of the building. For more information, visit www.baxtermorgue.com. We have this from the Hillside Horror Haunted Attraction in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. Hillside Horror is kicking off the 2014 haunt season in style. We'll have a DJ costume contest with cash prizes for first place, Hillside Horror merchandise giveaways, and many special guests, including the Wilkes County Zombie Response Unit, Carolina Coffin Cruisers, and visiting actors from other notable haunted attractions in North Carolina and Virginia. So be on your toes as monsters from other haunts invade the hillside. Names of these other haunts will be released periodically over the next few weeks. We can't give away all the exciting news just yet, so come on out opening night and be one of the first batches of victims to fear the difference. For more information, look for Hillside Horror's Facebook page. We have this update on the 5th annual Guarbecue in Richmond, Virginia. Attention, human scum! Your malevolent lords and masters, Guar, command you to attend the 5th annual Guarbecue August 16th at Haddad's Lake, 7900 Osborne Turnpike in Richmond, Virginia, where we will personally stuff your ugly faces with fistfuls of beer, food, and fun until you puke. We personally ensure all humans in attendance will have the time of their pathetic lives at what is shaping up to be the bloodiest bash of the summer. Who knew Guar's own ballsack, the Jaws of Death, was a culinary genius? His specially formulated Guarbecue sauce has become harder to locate than Gorgor's leash, but plenty will be on hand at the Guarbecue. Spray it on your meat of choice, be it flank, rib, chicken, or your own puffy forearm. Ballsack recommends his own creation, the Guarbecue Meat Sandwich, a painfully scrumptious smoked pork butt that will leave you gagging for more. Balsack's culinary expertise and delectable menu will be fully realized upon the completion of the Guar Bar, fulfilling a longtime dream of Slave Pit Inc. and founder, the late Dave Brocky. Throw it a like on Facebook at facebook.com/Guar Bar to stay up to date on the grand opening. And speaking of Brocky, Guarbecue attendees will have a chance to pay respects to Guar's founder and frontman at the memorial service taking place from 4 to 7 p.m. on Friday, August 15th at Haddad's Lake. The price of admission? Just a bucket of your tears. Pay tribute to Brocky in the manner of a Viking warrior returning to Valhalla as his alter ego, Odorous Urungus, is set ablaze upon the SS boat. Be there when we send the immortal corruptor on his journey back to Scumdogia and beyond. Of course, the biggest news is that Guar will headline this festival of human depravity. Those brave enough to attend will have a special once-in-a-lifetime experience of seeing old-school Guar legends Slimestra Hyman, the Sex Executioner, and Sleazy P. Martini back in action, performing on stage with the most dangerous band in the universe. For more information, and if you dare, visit guarbq.com. And finally, we have this news on the 5th annual Evil Clown Bar Crawl in Charlotte, North Carolina. Grab those wigs, your red noses, and big floppy shoes. It's time for the 5th annual Evil Clown Bar Crawl, benefiting a child's place. Please bring school supplies to donate in order to join our group of marauding clowns. We'll provide the clown makeup. Items needed including rulers, pencils, lead and mechanic. Pens, loose leaf paper, spiral notebooks, composition books, erasers, glue, markers, crayons, colored pencils, highlighters, scissors, and any type of school supplies you can think of. There's no cover for any bar, club, or shop we will be invading, but you are responsible for your tab at each spot. You must be 21 with a donation to participate. For more information, search for the Clown Bar Crawl on Facebook or learn more about A Child's Place, which is a very worthwhile charity, at www.achildsplace.org. Sounds like a fun event. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. And ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the show where we hope to give away a fantastic prize courtesy of Screamline Studios. That's right. Once again, it's time for the July edition of the Gruesome Giveaway sponsored by Screamline Studios. Go to ScreamlineStudios.com
and check out their catalog of really, really great stuff, some of which we might be giving away tonight. You know how this works. Last show, we asked a question on the show. Fairly simple question, got quite a number of responses to it. We picked a caller at random. Well, we picked an entrant at random, gave them a call to see if they're there. A random caller, if you're on the line, what is your name and where are you from?
Anne from Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Does Anne have a last name?
Gratis.
Anne Gratis of Cape Cod, Mass. Welcome to the gruesome giveaway. I know you know how this works because otherwise you probably wouldn't have entered. So, let's ask you a couple of quick legal questions before we get to the meat of it here. First of all, have we contacted you in any way, shape, or form prior to this other than to let you know when to call in?
No.
No. Good.
Yeah.
Question number two, have you tried to influence us in any way, you know, sending us money, jewelry, pictures of dancing girls, or anything like that?
No.
No. Good. We like to hear that. All right, Anne from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, for your chance to win the July Gruesome Giveaway, what was the name of Elvira's upcoming CD?
I'm going to say Two Big Pumpkins. I honestly can't remember. I knew it had to do with pumpkins.
Two Big Pumpkins is absolutely correct. Congratulations, okay. Anne. Was it Gratis?
Yes.
Okay, Anne Gratis of Cape Cod, Massachusetts, you are the July winner of the Gruesome Giveaway. Congratulations.
Woo-hoo! Thank you.
Do you own a haunt, work for a haunt, or do anything in the haunt industry?
I work for Dooley Manor in Taunton, Massachusetts.
Ah, you work for Victor. I'm so sorry.
I do.
Oh, we love Vic. Vic's a great guy. Been on the show many times and have been drinking with him. But we won't get into that at this time. Once again, Anne Gratis, Cape Cod, Massachusetts, the July winner of the Gruesome Giveaway. Just to tell you folks, people really do win here. So stand by for the August Gruesome Giveaway because you could be the next winner on the Big Scary Show.
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's VonCharon, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
Tater's tip number 237, revenge is a dish best served cold. Because ice cream hides the taste of the cyanide.
Hello, buddy. Drew Badger here live. Heavy Rebel Weekender 2014, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, chatting with all the bands and all the cool kids out here. A couple of cool ones I saw on Friday night, tore it up, had a huge crowd out there. Hadn't seen them in a while. They seem to be back. Not even sure how you describe them. They call themselves Transylvania Transport Co. or Company. You got Pastor John and Luke from the band. How you guys doing?
We're doing good, man.
Got it, sir.
It was a rousing set, to say the least. I hadn't seen you guys in a while. Have you been out on the road? Have you been recording? Where have you guys been?
Been laying low for a little bit, you know, starting families and careers and all that good stuff. But, you know, we're trying to get back into it now. So.
Being quote-unquote adults.
Yeah. Oh, God, how horrible.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I guess you can't always live the life of the rock star. You kind of got to have that pesky mortgage and family and all that stuff too, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
So tell me a little bit how you guys got started. I know you've been around at least a few years. I remember seeing you play a couple times in Charlotte and playing around here for the last little bit. How did you guys kind of decide to put together whatever this music is that you call whatever it is? I don't even know how to classify it.
I think it was back in 2009. I played with another group I was in at the time here at Heavy Rebel, and I'd met Luke in passing a few times, and we'd kind of played around at, you know, house parties and stuff and rockabilly barbecues and whatnot.
Oh, sure.
And you know, things were, I was just in a transitional stage, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to move to Winston-Salem. So everything I could fit into my car, I did and came here, and ever since then we've been playing. So.
And how would you describe the music? I mean, it's kind of got a little bit of old-timey flair. It's got a real dark undertone. It's kind of a sinister flair to it a little bit. And it's a two-man band, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. We've always been in like a rotating cast of characters, I guess you could say. We've had Bernie from X-Straight Eights and now Motorbilly.
Sure.
Used to play drums with us. You know, we've had anywhere from 2 people to 15 people on stage with us at one time. So music-wise, I mean, it's kind of just a big jumble of everything we've always played and listened to. So, you know, you've got the rockabilly, psychabilly influence, you know, you've got the old blues, gypsy jazz, Tom Waits thrown in there for good measure.
That's,
you know,
a good name. Yeah. That makes perfect sense, Tom.
Yeah.
Waits.
So. Yeah.
Try to appease everybody with just the eclectic music tastes that we both have and both listen to, and just make it all work somehow.
With some really dark lyrics to everything. A lot.
Well, actually, our first song we ever wrote together was written in a cemetery here in Winston, like probably the week I moved here. Yeah, I didn't have a job. I had like whatever little money I had in my pockets, and we were out, you know, just hanging out every night, and it just kind of came together. So.
You weren't like sitting out in the cemetery writing dark poetry and said, hey, this would make a song.
No, it's just actually the cemetery here in Winston-Salem is just one of the most beautiful spots in the city. And, one of the oldest cemeteries in the area too, and it's just a quiet place, a nice place to write music, you know.
So is this your favorite place to go and write songs?
It has been at times, yeah.
So we'll have to watch for you two guys hanging out in the local cemetery, because we know maybe an album is coming out at some point.
Yeah. Trying to dig something up.
That's funny. Anyway. So you guys have been playing around. You put out a little bit of music out there. For anybody interested in learning a little bit more about Transylvania Transport Company, I mean, I assume you guys got websites, social media, someplace where they can hear your stuff.
We've got Facebook that we never update. And, yeah, we've got some stuff on Reverb Nation you can listen to. And, you know, now we're getting back into the swing of things. We're getting ready to, you know, hopefully start recording. The lineup has changed, so now that it's me and him, you know, I'm doing the drums with my feet and doing the guitar, and you know, he's doing the bass, and so, you know, the sound's kind of changing and evolving a little bit, so hopefully we're going to get something recorded soon and get back out on the road.
Absolutely. So anybody looking out there, go check out Transylvania Transport Company on Reverb Nation, Facebook, even though it's never updated, and all that good stuff, and hopefully we'll keep you posted the next time they do release some more music. Johnny and Luke, a pleasure to have you here at Heavy Rebel. My name is Drew Badger. We are listening at the Big Scary Show here at the Heavy Rebel Weekender, and we are out.
Transylvania Transport Company. Suit your island on the Big Scary Show.
Castaway, I've been cast away out here on Suture Island. We'll let us stray. Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth. This is The Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right. So this week, we may actually have a story in the news which indicates we've gotten too good at our job, people. That's right, we may have desensitized the public so much that in their everyday jobs, they can no longer tell the difference between real and fake in the horror industry. We go to Florida, where we have two men hired to clean out a house that a former tenant had left, and they go into a garage and they found what they believe to be a grotesque Halloween scene slash prank of a man hanging. So they took the, quote, mannequin-like corpse, cut it down, put it in the garbage, and took it to the local landfill. That's where somebody at the landfill realized that it was, in fact, an actual body. Yes, that's right. They had mistaken the former tenant who committed suicide in the garage as part of a Halloween prank. Exactly how this works, and, you know, they say it's because it's Florida and it was a mummified decomposition, which I'm a little confused with because, you know, I took some biology in high school and there's stuff that happens when you die which might indicate that it's not a, you know, Halloween mannequin. But, you know, I think we got a little mix here that, you know, Florida, you got the Halloween Horror Nights, you have all these incredible shows that we all put on across the country. Maybe we're desensitizing people too much. But of course, that's all on them. I mean, if you're going to mistake, you know, a real corpse, you know, for a fake one, we're doing our job. Maybe a little bit too well, but hey, that's what we get paid to do. So, if people blame us for doing our jobs too well, then people gotta go back to high school biology and figure out the difference between a mannequin and a corpse. It just goes to show, you know, some of our patrons, all those stories the actors tell at the end of the night, they're all true. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to the dulcet tones of Virgil Franklin's faux Elvis fading into the ether muse, so to speak, you'll know it's once again time for the Round Table of Terror. And as we do from time to time, we like to get a couple of musicians together and talk haunt music. And ironically enough, not only do we have Virgil Franklin's faux Elvis as our theme song, but we have Virgil Franklin as one of our guests tonight. So, hey, how cool is that? So we will go ahead and just say, welcome Virgil Franklin to the Round Table of Terror.
When do I get my PayPal?
Soon, actually. Over in Linton, Indiana, who is responsible for many things, including our theme music, some great music over the many, many years, and a gentleman brand new to our show, but not new to some of our hosts, Scary Larry, over in, please forgive me, Narragansett, Rhode Island at the moment. Scary Larry, are you with us?
I'm with you.
You are the GM of the Trails to Terror, in which Storm happens to employ himself during the Halloween season. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And also responsible for putting together all the great music out there. So welcome you two to the Roundtable of Terror, as well as our regular hosts, including the aforementioned Storm.
Greetings from Rhode Island, where I learned how to play the squeaky box yesterday.
I'm not even touching that one.
I'm not even going there.
Allison. the unknown scare actor.
Greetings from Cincinnati, and I've got to say that my Terror Attack Haunt Academy was a success yesterday.
Congrats. The Haunster medalist, Jerry Vane.
Aleve is my best friend.
We'll ask about your stripper friends in a moment. My name is Drew Badger. Just drove back from MonsterCon. You'll be hearing those interviews and many more pretty soon. So, gentlemen, we're talking music tonight. Jerry, I hope you'll help us with a lot of it. So let's talk to Scary Larry for a second, since your first time on the show. Tell us a little bit about your music background and what it takes to put together a good music program for a haunt. You know, some haunts, they just throw on a Midnight Syndicate CD or Nox Arcana and have at you, and others go all elaborate with themes and everything. How do you go about getting music ready for a place like Trails to Terror?
Well, I take my script, I know what each of my scenes are going to be, and then I start going through the hundreds of clips and cuts that I have of music and start with a list for each scene that I think this might work in that scene, and then I totally whittle down that list little by little until I get down to the piece that I want. If we're talking, we have two parts to our horn, a hayride and a walkthrough. The walkthrough is kind of easy. You only need a short section of music that fits the scene, whether it's musical or something just plain irritating or whatever. I tell the actors, you got to deal with it because you're going to have to listen to this for 4 hours for the entire night, and it might only last for 15 to 30 seconds before it repeats again. The hayride's a totally different thing. That's a half-hour hayride. That's a I treat it as a movie. It has a theme, a different theme every year. I usually pick some cut that functions as both the intro theme and the finish theme when we're thanking everybody at the end of the night. Leads in, I got to make sure that the style of the music is somewhat consistent, unless at some point during the ride the tone changes because maybe the zombies have taken over or something, and, you know, and the environment has now changed. I think editing is very important. Timing is very important. You want to know whether you want a fast beat, you want a slow beat, you want something that doesn't have a beat, that's just more a tone poem kind of thing, and slowly build the thing up, because I've got to put narration on top of it, sound effects, and sometimes it ends up with a whole lot of layers. And I mean, you can literally take the soundtrack and almost present it as a radio dramatization if you just put a little bit more into it, so that you knew the action that was going on that you don't see, that's because it's not there on the soundtrack. But if you added in that action, you'd be in, it'd be Mercury Radio Theater of the Air that they used to do back in the 30s is basically what it would happen.
Nice. Virgil, I know you've put together soundtracks for various films and things. Do you work something similar or anything like that?
Well,
or how does one go about getting music arranged for a film like that, I guess? Sorry.
Wow, okay. As far as films are concerned, I mean, it's a similar process. With the film, you're actually given either a scene or you're given the entire finished product and hopefully frames locked, and you watch it, and you just you pay attention to the pacing, to the characters that are in the film. You look at the dialogue, the theme, the tension, or feelings that are within each scene, and you just try to let the movie dictate how it's to sound. I hate to be oversimplified in all this, but it comes really down on the really simple concept. In a haunted attraction, like a movie, I like the way my brothers put it out there, is you've got several things that go on, and each one of those things that go on has to have something that goes in line with it. If you think about Star Wars, you know, when Darth Vader was on the scene, you heard his theme. When Luke Skywalker came on, then you heard his theme. I could imagine that what my brother there is talking about is that you create a haunt track for your particular haunt the same way I would do a movie score. I just basically let the movie write the music for me. I come up with a collection of themes, connections of connective tissues, and just kind of lay it over top of what's there and just let the movie tell me what to write.
I've always thought that one of the most complicated things you could ever do besides creating a crossword puzzle from scratch is doing a movie score. I just can't get and wrap that around my head, how to create layers upon layers upon layers of stuff to fit a scene or to fit a set design.
I think one of the things you do is, like you, Virgil was saying, you look at the scene. In my case, I'm creating it in my mind, but he's looking at a film clip. It's really the same thing. You're trying to reinforce the emotion that the scene has, and you want to build on that type of the whatever emotion is going on in that scene. You want to build it with the music. Sometimes,
and
it's
my good
subtle,
friend Kelly Baker always says, "It's the dialogue, stupid."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Right. Well, in the case of a film, you know, it's the Kelly Baker says this all the time. It's the dialogue, stupid. You try to do something that doesn't get in the way of what your actors are doing. If you have something too complex, too musically busy, it masks good dialogue. So if you're an actor driven haunt. One of the things I do in my seminars is I really, really push this out. It's like, you know, you got to watch your scene. If you've got a haunt that's actor-driven and there's a lot of dialogue going on within the actors, you want to make sure that you have something musically happening there that's not very interesting in the way that it would detract from what they're doing, and also something that's laying in the same frequency of their voices. It would mask them or cover them and make it very difficult for your actors to do their job.
Yeah, right.
The same way with a haunt, as with a movie. With a movie, you want to make sure that the music enhances, doesn't cover up, and definitely doesn't lay in the same frequency spectrum as say, the voice does. And I don't want to go all complicated and all that, but that's basically what you're looking at. Haunted attraction music should enhance the scene, cause the people who are the victims to become entranced and basically lose contact with the real world and be introduced into your world. You're wanting to create a situation where you've got them absolutely absorbed into the realm of whatever your haunt has in mind of doing to them. So,
right. Just like I say, that they should, when I started there, because I was not there from the very beginning, and the hayride tended to pull up to scenes, and I said, no, you can't. The hayride has to go into a scene. Same thing with the music. The music has got to become part of the scene and actually surround them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a good point, too, with the different haunts and you know, both on composing and putting together. You have a transition period, like on the hayride where, you know, for our case, what Larry does is having the soundtrack fall in a hayride, but also indoor haunts, you do have some spaces which are connecting scenes. How difficult and how important is that transition? And let's start with Virgil on composing that. Do you ever do anything with that in mind other than a scene itself?
Basically what happens is this. We have, I hate to sound like an infomercial, but gosh, here it is. There are a collection of tracks. Every CD that I put out, I know Jerry does basically the same thing. Every CD that we put out has some thematic material to it. It's got a theme. It's got a concept behind it. But basically what at the end of the day you're looking at is this. Out of all those tracks that are on there, there are tracks that can be used for transitional material. Transitional material should, by and large, in my humble opinion, and I'm subject to change dependent upon phase of the moon and whether or not I've had enough sleep. But my opinion right now is basically this. Transitional material needs to be non-musical, almost sound effect or like a pad or just something, some creepy ire of sound that exists, and something that doesn't have is not overly complicated musically, that will allow you when you're leaving the area where this sound exists and you walk into the next section of the haunt or next scene, that it won't clash with anything that's going on in that room. So, you know, it is like connective tissue, and you just want something that's just going to get you from point A to point B, maintain the creep factor, maintain the fear factor, or maybe not. Maybe give them a red herring and kind of let them chill out and think that everything's okay. Maybe we're at the end of the haunt, and boom, all of a sudden you have something. So it just depends on the design of the haunt as well. But we have tracks that do that. I had a four cassette called Atmospheres that came out a number of years ago, and all it was connective tissue, just sounds. It wasn't really musical as such, but in kind of a Cajun way, but it was just really just this connective long pads, just frightening tones. They're dulcet, and they just allow you to kind of have that laying in the background.
That's kind of the same thing I did with the attic. I purposely went out of the way. I tried to design the CD as it would be if you were going through a haunt. If the CD, if each track was its own room in a haunt, and used ambient to tie every track together, you know, from the beginning, it kicks into the song, and the next, when it comes to the end of that song, using the ambient to carry it in, and trying to keep that creep factor going on. And that was something I culled from being in haunted houses, is, you know, I go through to try to get ideas for songs, you know, visual ideas to help spark that creative, you know, mind going. But at the same time, I was also paying attention to how they segue room to room. Are they using ambient? Is it visual? You know, what do they use to tie each thing together? Because not all haunts have a complete storyline. Some have a storyline in one section and then something else, and then you've got some haunts that are literally, it's a storyline straight through, and that's what I tried to do with the attic.
Awesome. And Larry, what about you with the use of transition and how it works in the show itself?
Well, the our hayride is very theatrical, and the theme, as you're introduced to the narrator, whoever that's going to be, the music has to be in the background during that. That's when the hayride is moving, and he'll set up the next scene. And then you come to a scene, the hayride stops, and then the action occurs. Lots of times, what happens is not what was set up, because things are going to go wrong. We had, for example, a couple of years ago, we had a father looking for his lost daughter who had stumbled into the Freak Street where all the monsters live. Okay, well, it didn't have a happy ending. She got disemboweled by a werewolf in the last scene. But our transition is actually the narration, the setup for the scene. You don't have that in a haunted house per se. You might in some of those houses where they actually have a host that might lead you through, but I think that's in a haunted house, it's a little bit hokey. You kind of need to go on your own. And those usually just seem like they're more like there for security and that you don't touch anything. But in our hayride, our transition is actually the storyline. And the scenes are the scares. So we have to set up the emotions with the music and the narration to get to the scene, and then you're going to see what's going to happen, whether it's going to be something that's very creepy, it's something that's going to be very violent. Our actors are, we do not restrain our actors very much, so they're pretty much allowed to do most anything, and so therefore I use the music to inspire them in those scenes, but the transitions are very obvious, in it, because the wagons are moving, and the music and the narration is fits that part of it.
While you try to get the image of Storm unrestrained at his haunt, I'll just say that we'll take a quick break here to remind you, you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show, talking music with Scary Larry from Rhode Island, Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse from Indiana, and our other hosts, and we'll take this quick break to pay some bills and be right back.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best-rated zombie props 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com, along with the scary creepy clown props, the frozen meat locker props, the deadly doll props, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. creepycollection.com, the online source for all your pro-haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find Creepy Collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
And we're back to the Roundtable of Terror, talking music with Virgil Franklin and Scary Larry and the four hosts. And we were talking transitional periods in the haunts and how music is used to kind of transition from one scene to another. And I wanted to throw this out to the hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane. Jerry, I noticed like in Soul Collector and The Attic, you did use a lot of storm sequences, I guess, for your beginning and ending tracks. And I guess that was also used as transition music, or was that just for other purposes?
It depended on what it was being used for. In the case of The Attic, because the storyline for that CD took place in the attic itself, I only used it sparsely for the first track and the ending track. In the case of Soul Collector, being the fact that every song had a different theme for it, it just depended on what was needed. If the song needed big crashes like the Soul Collector track did, it actually fit the way the song started. In the case of Parade of the Damned and Souls of Black, that more low rumbling storm effect I felt was needed, and plus that's all I had. So I was kind of limited in my sound effects. That's what it was, is I was just trying to set that food up. For what the track needed. Same with Chambers of the Desecrated. That one had a lot of thunder going through it because, being a mostly ambient track, I wanted to convey that uneasiness of being in this chamber and having whatever whatever's going on in the track around it. It was just trying to set up that uneasiness.
Virgil, I had a question for you kind of along the same lines. I know that a lot of haunts, just as I said before, they'll just put in a CD and play it through. But there's several tracks. I'm thinking I think it's from A Visit from Mr. Gray, where you have like real narration at the beginning of a lot of the tracks. And it to me, that kind of, I hate to say it, kind of takes out or takes away from being able to actually just play that track in a room. I mean, was that intentional was that narration put in there, like where the kids are trick-or-treating and the guy welcomes him in for a scary story? Was
you're actually thinking the audiobook that we put out.
Oh, okay, because that's
supposed to be there, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, that was actually telling the story. Kind of introduce it, but it seemed to like run into the same track, and I'm like, oh, okay, I couldn't play that in my haunted house
That was an audiobook that we put out a number of years back called On the Night Most Sinister, and that was actually
actually an audiobook. We shipped that out with a video game that accompanied it and an audiobook, and the kids could sit down, and it was a good family Halloween time.
Well, I'm glad that cleared up the mystery there, because I'm like, ugh. Why is there narration in this track? I could play this somewhere.
Can I speak to this as far as in regards to haunt design, though? One of the things that talked to several haunted attractions about this, each room having a theme, each scene having a theme, transitional material is, I mean, it could be as simple as atmospherics. I mean, like Jerry was talking about thunderclaps and rain and wind and howling of wolves or whatever you would have that are non-musical. And that's one thing I really want to kind of push out here is when you're thinking about designing your haunted attraction, and some people are building right now, some people are still in the design stages, something you might consider is you pick up a whoever's CD, it does not matter, and you find a particular track that has that special something that you want for that that room. You put that music in that room, and that's where it stays. But when they leave that room and they go to the next room, you might really think about what you select as an umbrella, as an audio umbrella hanging over top of your haunted attraction as they transition. And that might be something very unmusical, atmospheric, nothing with tones necessarily, but definitely something that's going to, you know, keep the creep factor up, as Jerry said. And allow for an adequate segue transition between the rooms, and that's something you have to look at. Is it going to be a musical thing? If it's a musical thing, leave it in the queue line or leave it in the room. Non-musical is going to be something used for transitory, for movement between scenes, so that it doesn't interfere with the sounds that are within the scene that you're entering or the scene that you're leaving.
Interesting.
And Larry, what about you with the challenges of when there's soundtracks already in music and making your choices for scenes?
Well, lately I have found that there's lots of times I listen to a cut and I like the cut from a musician's point of view. This is a really nice piece of music. But sometimes it doesn't fit the exact emotion I'm trying to capture. And what I have found is by using a program like Sound Booth or Pro Tools or something like that, take that piece of music and look at speeding it up, slowing it down, and sometimes you're changing the pitch and sometimes you don't want to change the pitch. And you can do a really marvelous thing, because somebody like Virgil or Jerry wrote a phenomenal piece of music, but they don't know how I'm going to use it in my specific haunt. You know, just like they were saying, they go through haunts and they get ideas on how to put something together for another haunt. And, you know, and if they're real close, and I love that piece, but it's, you know, maybe I want it slower or I want it real fast because I want that kind of energy. That's what I'll do, is I'll adjust the speed. And it gives you a huge range of stuff. I'm sure that you have a lot of the tracks from previous years from Trails to Terror. And if you went back and analyzed the tracks in our archives, you would probably pick out stuff that I've used again and again and again, but sometimes I've edited a different way. Sometimes it's just a piece of the music. We were talking about narration or even vocal lines. You don't usually want vocal lines in any music in a haunt, but sometimes there's a nice piece of music and I like everything, but let's take out the vocal line. And I could do that, edit it right out and use just the music. There's a lot that you can do with the technology these days, because although I could, I've never written music for to specifically use in a haunt, because there's such neat stuff out there anyway. I said, well, fine, I'll let those guys, I'll use their stuff, and then but I'll use it in my own unique way.
I got another question about the music that you guys select. I know you're selecting your music for the benefit of the scenes and for the benefit of the customers that go by, but have you ever chosen music for the benefit of the actors that have to sit in a house or in a room for 4 or 5 hours a night and listen to it over and over again. I remember my second year as an actor, I got stuck in a room where the soundtrack repeated itself about every 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Over and over and just completely brutal.
Specifically hope that the music that I put in there will inspire the actors to get into their character more so. I mean, I'm trying to reinforce the emotion that I'm trying to give to the customer, and I'm doing it through, because we're a very actor-driven haunt, and, you know, if it's a battle scene, which we've done in the past, or it's a zombie scene, so, I mean, you know, and I was an actor for years, I don't act anymore, but... Oh, absolutely. I mean, I just get into the music and really help to become the character. It's only when you're doing something that's very atonal, that's meant not to be pleasant to listen to, and the owner of Trails likes stuff like that, too, so I do tend to use stuff that will bother people's ears. That's the only problem that I ever have with the actual actors. Otherwise, they love the stuff that I do.
Badger, I'm glad you brought that up because, a couple of years ago when I was working, we had the theming out back behind the schoolhouse was, we were in a cage maze and it was set back close to the era of the schoolhouse, and they had, Bud had mixed up a bunch of different songs from the era. But we were clowns, too. We were thug clowns, for lack of a better term. And
we call
those
juggalos.
Yeah, well, I don't prefer, I don't care for that. But anyway, I listened to Tiptoe Through the Tulips, not on a continuous loop, but it was part of the loop. And it got so redundant that me and some of the other guys, we just started working it into our routine. And we would do something really really goofy or off the wall whenever it came up. But Larry understands from a perspective of putting everything together, and Virgil and Jerry understand from composition that sometimes the music really just gets the actor going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that was last year or the year before, I think. We have a bus, and if we use the bus, we will put people through the bus. Sometimes we put in vibrators on the bus or strobe lights inside or whatever kind of gags we'll do with it. But this last time we used the bus, I took the clip, the wheels on the bus go round and round, and I only just took the first line of that and repeated it the entire night, but I also slowed it down a little bit so it sounded like it was on a warped record. And I definitely had the actors complaining about that.
I had blacked that one out of my mind.
You forgot about it. You conveniently forgot about that.
I'm going, you know, I think the only music which, you know, I'd hear in my sleep later was when I was doing the Mangler scene with that heavy, crazy music, which I, you know, can only vaguely remember. But, yes, going through and checking on the actors, the wheels on the bus go, yeah, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. I hated that. To be in the scene for even 5 seconds when I would pass through at the beginning of the night.
And that would also
but
be
I
the
warned
scene.
Them.
Yeah, and that was also one where usually, you know, I'm one of the ones who go through at the end of the night, and there are a couple places where we shut down power. Some of the stuff's on a little Honda generator. Other parts are hooked up to a switch. So usually it's me going through clearing, and then, you know, I'll shut off the generator. Larry will shut off the main switch. And it was always right around there where, you know, the power gets shut down. It's that half a second where it went extra slow as the lights went out, which just
I do have to admit, I cut that track while I was down in Florida. And so you got a picture, you know, we're down on the island, palm trees, beautiful water, blah, blah, blah. And I'm trying to create Halloween stuff for the coming October. And the evening that I was sitting at the computer and I created that, and I got the idea for that, and I warped it, slowed it down, and all that kind of stuff, and made it repeat. I mean, I never felt so evil in my entire life, sitting there knowing what the actors were going to have to go through to listen to this.
I will say this, when I was working at the Scaratorium a couple of years ago, they had Hillbilly Hell playing the entire 3 hours.
Yeah.
Virgil, I hated your guts by the end of that night.
I have actually gone and found, if you look for old-time radio and stuff, gotten the old fiddle music that's all scratchy and stuff back when they were recording on waxes and 78s. And I've got some of that stuff, and I've used that occasionally.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah, we're getting towards the end. I got a fun little question for each of our musicians here. Has there been something where you've looked at it, maybe at the end of the season, maybe after seeing the scene there, and or years later, you know, musically or just at your own, you know, composition there, and going, what the hell was I thinking? And let's go with Jerry on that one first.
Try every damn album. yeah, there's a few songs that I kind of sit there and go, okay, that wasn't quite what I had in mind. And I'll sit, you know, there have been some tracks, and I'm not going to name them, but there have been some tracks that I've gone and said, you know what, that's a filler track. And then I get messages.
Brave Hollow Witch.
Oh, that song
sucks. Especially
sucked,
the speaking parts.
Yes, that was my first attempt at putting actors on it. Every the three actors, which were Badger, Jackie, and myself, the recording quality of each of us was terrible. So, yeah, that's one track I would have liked to have redone. But
well, the
I've
recording
had
quality in the 15th century wasn't that great.
Yes, it was terrible. yeah, but there have been a few tracks that I've gone back later. Damnation's Embrace. Few tracks that I wish I could have done differently, and I've got people saying that's their favorite track. So yeah. You can sit there, I can sit there and second guess it until I'm blue in the face, but somebody's going to pick up on that track and go, that's my favorite. So, you know, okay, cool. I will say this, I did find the original mix of Damnation's Embrace before Virgil turned me on to the drum libraries that I use now. If I had released that album, nobody would have wanted to use my stuff at all. I'll be very honest with you. I listened to it yesterday. It's terrible. So, Virgil, thank you, my friend.
Oh, you're
you
most
saved
welcome.
My ass.
Maybe you'll have to go back and remix some of your earlier stuff and put out
a compilation
of remix stuff. No?
No, it was just that one album.
Oh.
But half the drum tracks on that album were I pulled from isolated tracks from other songs and remixed it and re-spliced it and re-EQ'd it and slowed it down and all that. But yeah, just listen to the drums on the original version of Zombie Stomp and then listen to the version that's on Damnation's Embrace and you'll understand why I changed it. It's terrible.
Well, I think we got to go to Virgil next after that transition.
Oh, I'll tell you what, seriously, trying to find a song that I hate is like asking me which one of my kids do I like best. It's just not a possibility. Here's the deal. I want to spin this on its head real quick. It's not so much that I've like listened to something and going, what the hell was I thinking? It's, you know, you go through, I've got like about 500 haunt songs that I've composed roughly over the years. And it's like, I remember walking into a haunted attraction and hearing a piece of music going, well, that's pretty damn good. And then they said, well, of course it's yours. I'd forgotten that I wrote it.
Yep.
So, old age is catching up on me, I suppose.
It's fantastic. What about you, Larry? Oh, no, go ahead, Virgil. You got something else?
Real quick here, but the one thing that's really gotten to me more than, you know, just actually, you know, disliking something I've ever written is when people contact you and say, you know, I love track number 3 on this album because my wife and I, we have great nocturnal experiences to it. And I'll just leave it at that. And you get letters.
Keep it PG-13.
Sometimes, and you kind of go, yeah, at that point, I'm just going, wow, I'm never going to listen to that piece of music the same ever again.
What was the comment we had when we had that interview with Ed? Some people get married to it. Some people do nocturnal things to it. Mine do they use for divorce?
Divorce. I think a funeral. Somebody had used something from Midnight Syndicate or something once.
I actually have in my will that I am using a Midnight Syndicate track at my funeral in the prelude.
That's disturbing.
And people are going to be like,
as Virgil walked out, you're not using mine.
Dude, straight up, that would be such an honor, you know, if somebody's going to ensure. I've had people wedded to my stuff, but I never had them buried to my stuff, so there you go.
Well, I'm not getting buried. I'm getting cremated or turned into a tree or something like that. I don't know, but, you know, we'll have to go start going through your extensive library to find the right track for that. Music to burn to.
There it is.
And, and Larry, what about you? Anyone that you've gone back and go, well, what was I thinking?
No, not really, because, I mean, first of all, I'm not writing anything. I'm using these guys' music and doing stuff with that and whatever. And I think the biggest thing I've learned over the years is that I don't have to be too technical. When I first started, I was very anal about getting every little tiny bit just right. And then over time, when you sit there and you watch how people react to this stuff and whatever, and you say, well, you know, I could have made it easier on myself with the editing and kept the complication down and whatever. I can repeat an awful lot. Nobody notices it, especially if it's behind the narration. I've just improved over the years, and occasionally I'll listen to old tracks. But everyone, as you know, everyone that we've done is so different from the others. From, you know, from Pirates to Haunted Circuses to Apocalypse, classic monsters, and it's all over the place. So everyone fits each season. So,
well, the lesson
to be learned: no one will ever ask for their money back if the music isn't matching the beats per second with the strobe light.
There you go. But I would like to. There you go. I would like to say that the clock on the wall is unfortunately telling us it is time to wrap this up. So I do want to thank our guests and, of course, give them a chance to promote any and all of their various projects. We'll start with Scary Larry. What have you got coming down the pike as far as, you know, all the new stuff coming to Trails of Terror and how people can get information on that stuff?
Well, very simple. You go to trailstoterror.com, which will be updated around the 1st of August in time for the new season coming up. We're doing a variation on the Dr. Moreau, the Island of Dr. Moreau theme by H.G. Wells called The Farm of Dr. Moreau, where things go horribly wrong.
And Larry, what if in the off season people are traveling around Western Florida? Would they perhaps chance come across you someplace?
We're probably cruising in our boat offshore around Longboat Key and the intercontinental waterway there, having a nice time and enjoying retirement.
Play occasional party and beach market down there too.
Oh yes, I do. Yes, I. When I'm down there, I turn into a musician, and then I'm not Scary Larry. I'm the guy that plays on the boardwalk every Sunday for 6 hours and watch the boats sail by and the girls in the bikinis and loving every minute of it.
I know where I'm moving.
Wasn't loving every minute of it an old Loverboy song?
I do believe
only you will admit that.
Could be. Sorry. How about you, Virgil? What's going on down the pike, you know, from your retirement a few years ago to unretirement and any projects and any cool stuff that you've got?
Well, currently, if you want to keep up on everything, Virgil, you go to lameduckdigital.com. That's lameduckdigital.com. And you can find all my stuff there. There's a link out to my Bandcamp site and some other places where you can get to my music. And if you need to contact me for custom soundtrack work, I can do that as well. 3 CDs coming out within the next year. one called The Haunted, which is one of those I'm really having trouble composing just because I can only listen to it for a few minutes at a time and I have to get up and go take a shower. It's pretty bad. We're doing a kids album. That makes sense?
Go on.
A kids album. Yeah, it's called Halloween. Simple, straight to the point. That's going to come out sometime next year. And then we're doing another one that should be out, I'm thinking late August, early September, that's called Carnival of Carnage. And it is going to be a salute to everything death metal plus circuses.
Ooh, I know somebody who would be very interested in co-composing with you on that. Which brings us to Jerry. What have you got coming up?
Clifford.
Yeah, Clifford's going to be in on it. I can guarantee you on that one. No, absolutely no Cookie Monster vocals. No Cookie Monster vocals.
Now, what were you asking?
I was just going to say, if you've got anything coming down the pike in the next little bit, we'll give you a chance to give a free plug here.
Well, other than Bodies in the Bayou just coming out in June, which you can get at jerryvane.com, iTunes, Amazon MP3, CD Baby, Spotify, and every other digital site known to man. I am currently in writing mode for Cirque du Macabre, which I'm hoping to have out in time for MHC next year. I currently literally just got the studio functional today in between doctor's appointment and everything else, but the studio is finally slowly coming back to life. And Mr. Virgil, you'll be getting a call from me at some point, maybe next week. So, Cirque du Macabre is the next one in line right now. I'm basically trying to... it's very hard to top what Virgil and Gavin and Ed have done with their circus CDs, so I'm trying to kind of take a similar approach and make it an audio journey like I did with The Attic. And I have expanded my... I'm expanding out on this one, not just for using guitars, but I actually have sitting here next to me a brand new synth that I'm looking very forward to getting hooked up and adding to my oral palate.
Oral palate. Oh, sorry.
Shut up.
But anyway, I want to thank our guests.
I was expecting Jim to snort that one, not you.
I want to thank our guests again, Scary Larry and Virgil Franklin, as well as Jerry for chatting music with us, along with our four co-hosts, including Storm.
I will be hooking up an event box to Badger's Gravestone to play Jerry's Haunt Mariachi CD in probably about 30 or 40 years.
Which will probably come out about the time I die, so yeah, I'm expecting that. That'd be great. The Unknown Scare Actor.
I'm going to start working on promotion for Terror Tech 2015 now.
Nice. And of course, Jerry Vane, you have already plugged away, but if you have something witty to say, then go right ahead.
No.
My name is Drew Badger, who just acquired a 1940s vintage accordion, so look for a very scary album on the way at some point.
Poke of hell.
It's a button only, no keyboard, so this is nice.
Oh, I'm getting my brother to collaborate on that one.
There you go.
There's your barriers. A polka album. Yeah.
Here it is. Here's the title, Polka in Purgatory.
Polka in Purgatory. Oh.
Coming soon to a record bar near you. And if you haven't seen a record bar in 20 years, you know why. You're going to see it about that time. Anyway, this is the Roundtable of Terror here on The Big Scary Show. And we are out.
Tater's tip number 3. Booby traps seldom contain actual boobies.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here live at the Heavy Rebel Weekender, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Bands and beer and classic cars and a lot of rock and roll.
rockabilly, honky-tonk, punk, metal, whatever you want to call it, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a whole lot of the other thing. Just got through watching a great set by a band I really had not seen before, but they completely blew me away, the Creepazoids. With a name like Creepazoids, you can only think of, oh, I don't know, punkish, maybe a little of this, a little of that, probably a little bit of Rat Fink thrown in. I got Greg and Derek here from the Creepazoids. I'm surprised they have any voice left. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, doing great.
It's a great set, I might say. There was a great beer can war going on as well.
We were kind of expecting it. All our friends always play this, and we kind of torture them, so we expected to get it right back.
Is first time playing here?
Yes, first time.
So the retaliation, they've just been waiting for it.
Absolutely.
How did the band come about, and how'd you pick a really cool name like the Creepazoids? It sounds like you had to have been influenced by some kind of horror movie or something.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
All of our songs are just bad horror movie influenced. I say bad B movie. Influence.
That means good movies.
No, Creepazoids is terrible.
It's a pretty terrible movie.
It was a great name, and our bassist is obsessed with Lana Quigley. So he's like, oh, she gets naked in this movie. Well, let's write a song about it. Or be a band about it. And he started it, actually, like an idea he had a couple of years ago, and then we all knew each other from bands previous and just kind of got together and made it happen.
So what kind of influences do you guys draw off of, besides bad B-movies and naked Lana Quigley's? Who's been on our show? Sorry for the plug.
Musically,
we're just name dropping here.
Yeah, I mean, musically, it's a huge range. Yeah, and
we're drummer listen to metal, and all listen to country, rock and roll, surf, punk.
Yeah, a lot of old school punk.
Squish it all together.
Some surf, you know. It's.
I didn't hear a lot of surf influence tonight, I don't think. Maybe just a hint.
There's like one or two songs that we kind of do it in, and we're trying to weave it in a little bit, trying to do something a little bit different than just a straightforward. Rock and roll, but
the energy tonight kind of made the surf songs go a little bit more punk.
Yeah. Yeah,
they were twice the speed they should have been, but it was definitely needed. Yeah. It kept everyone going.
It was the most fun I've had in a long time.
And I understand this is a special night. You've got a release party tonight.
We have a brand new record called "We Are the Creepazoids" out on vinyl and digital download. The downloads will be up next week, I believe.
Yeah, next week.
And if you buy a vinyl, it comes with a free digital download code. We're really proud of the record. It's 14 songs?
Yeah,
14 songs. 13 songs, in an intro.
14 songs in 26 minutes.
Yeah. So we
just, that's rather Ramones-esque right there.
That's another big influence of ours. This set we just played was 18 songs in about 35 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're pretty proud of that.
You're right in Ramones'
territory. Yeah. So,
that's with the talking.
Yeah, and that's with us, you know, Jim.
The lively banter in between songs.
So,
and singing with a giant rat on your head.
I mean, you know.
What caused you to create a giant Rat Fink and stick him on your head?
What it really was is my wife is one of the burlesque dancers, Diva du Jour, and every year she gets all dolled up for the car show, and I have to hold her purse. My guys take her picture with their car. I told her, I said, screw that, you're going to hold my purse this year. So I made a Rat Fink costume. Tomorrow I'm going to walk around the car show dressed as Rat Fink and see how many pictures I can get taken.
Oh, I'm definitely going to bring the cameras out and get shots of that.
Sounds awesome.
So you guys in the Richmond area? Or?
Yes, all of us. I was born and raised, I think most of us were.
Raised.
Yeah, Chris was close.
Chris and Ryan were Northern Virginia.
Northern Virginia. Steve-O's been all over the place.
Are you guys planning any touring this summer up and down the East Coast or anything like that?
Just little festival stuff, little weekend stuff. We've all got kids or real jobs.
That pesky stuff that keeps rock and roll from being a full-time job.
So we're doing some weekends. We're doing Rock and Roll Luau in New York, end of July. We're pretty excited about that.
Got a couple road trips, a couple nights out with Goddamn Gallows.
Philly, stuff like that. So
they'll be playing later tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow night. Yeah, tomorrow night cool. At midnight.
Excellent. Yeah. Good time for them to play.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's we don't get the tour as much as we like, but the weekend was we're kind of weekend warriors and we like it that way. You know, it's something to get away.
Oh, absolutely. And, everybody loves coming to the Weekenders. Absolutely. So for people interested in learning a little bit more about the Creepazoids, the new vinyl with the digital download, sounds good. Was it Night of the... What was it?
We are the
Creepazoids. And possibly any appearances, the Luau coming up in New York. That's a big event.
I
know some people who've been to that, and they say that's just fantastic. How can they get a hold? Social media, websites, et cetera.
All of it. Facebook, Instagram.
Instagram, what do you got? Pictures of breakfast on there?
Anything we want.
Anything done with our faces on it.
Which is a lot of stuff.
We got a Bandcamp.
Creepazoid.bandcamp, Instagram, which is at Creepazoids,
Facebook, you know, just whatever, all the typical things.
So if anybody basically Googles Creepazoid and it's not up. That movie, it'll be the band there.
And the movie's with an O, and we're Creepazoids.
So Creepazoids is what you should look for.
Before A and after A.
Yeah. Well, let's not get too complicated. it's late, and there's been alcohol involved here.
I'm not going with the email addresses
either. And probably a good thing the rest of the band's not here either.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're all great, but we're all riding pretty high on that set, and I think they're all waiting to have a few more.
Greg and Derek, I'm not going to take any more of your time. I want to thank you for coming on the Big Scary Show.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, talking about the music. And remember, guys, go check out the Creepazoids. Coming soon, hopefully to a weekender near you, somewhere along the East Coast, North Carolina, based out of Richmond, Virginia. If you're in the mid-Atlantic states, go check them out because they just totally tore it up tonight. Once again, for the Big Scary Show, Drew Badger here at the Heavy Rebel Weekender in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and we are out.
Do you remember your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time. It's time to face your fears. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, haunters. The Lady of Darkness here. The unknown scare actor really needs to keep track of his recorder. I'm hiding in the dungeon, recording this installment of Face Your Fears. So, what kind of fears does the USA have? If I told you, it could be bad. Let's talk about mastigophobia, the fear of punishment. Right now, I don't want to think about the consequences. If I get caught, or maybe I'm daring him.
Where's my recorder?
Oh, gosh, gotta go.
Always remember one thing, haunters. Everyone is afraid of something.
Taters, tip number 436. You put the lotion in the basket, but make sure you call your wife first so you don't get the hose again.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry, covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here live at the Heavy Rebel Weekender, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. All the bands you can stand, cars, mud wrestling, lots and lots of fun. And this year, there seems to be a bit more, shall we say, horror-tinged rock out there. The recently deceased are out here, some other cool bands out here. This one I had never heard before. Sorry to say. Sorry, guys and lady. But I just caught their set, the Skeleton Beats, up in the greater Boston area, from what I understand. And you guys really just kicked it.
Thank you. I will also like to give a shout-out to our spooky friends from Massachusetts, the Evil Streaks. If you haven't heard of them, I got to give them some props. We're out here with them.
They're playing this weekend as well.
Yes, they played tonight downstairs in the jailhouse.
Sweet. So tell us kind of how the... And let's just go ahead and get your names here.
Amy Von Erie.
Mike Rancid.
I'm K-Rock.
Joey Two Fingers.
Excellent. Two Fingers, excellent for a bass player. Perfect name there. How did you guys get started? You've all played in other bands, and you've played... Some of you have played Rebel a couple of times, and yet you're kind of here in not quite a super group, so to speak, but kind of a mishmash of everybody else. How did you get the band together and wind up down here, among other places?
Well, me and Amy have played in Pulp 45 together. Don't correct me.
Grandma, please!
Played here in 2009, and that band broke up over time. People moved away, And so me and her kept wanting to play together. Figured we got a singer and a drummer, got the easy stuff taken care of.
Or
the hard stuff. I mean, get then I knew
we all know how easy it is to find guitar players and bassists, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
You're replaceable, don't you ever forget it.
But I knew Kevin, Amy knew Joe, and so we brought it all together in our friend Beck's basement for a while.
And I heard Amy was starting a band and needed a bassist at the time. I was kind of overwhelmed with other stuff, and I was like, I can't pass this up. Because I know Amy, when she wants to do something, she does it. So I'm like, if I let this go, I'm going to be kicking myself a year from now. So I was like, all right, I'll play bass.
And the rest is history, so to speak. What kind of influences have do you guys all bring to the table? You obviously got a little bit of rock and roll, a little rockabilly, a little punk, a little bit of metal, a little bit of everything
country,
else.
We're a little bit rock and roll.
No Donnie and Marie here, please.
Definitely, we got to say the Dead Boys, the Cramps, Johnny Thunders. Go on. That's just me.
That's just you.
Yeah, we got definitely a hard-edged rock and roll with a 50s kind of tinge to it.
Sonics, yes. Juana Jackson.
Exactly, what Amy said.
And then we played Guns N' Roses just for the hell of it, too.
Yeah, we grew up listening to the same music, it seems, so like we all kind of came from the same background.
Yeah, we all played in rockabilly bands, but we grew up listening to hair metal.
Yeah.
And so we kind of put the two together, and we were going for a 60s garage sound, like 60s garage punk sort of rock and roll, and it became like its own thing because of all our influences and past.
You know, I've been trying to do that in a band for close to 15, 20 years now. You know, get that glam metal with upright bass and rockabilly and all that. Always just kind of miss the mark, but you guys are actually kicking it despite not having an upright.
Accidents happen, it's the skeleton beats.
And then we get Johnny.
So you're saying it's just one big accident.
Well, accidents can be a good thing sometimes, a bit happy accident.
You can never turn away from a good accident.
Exactly, you got to look.
Yeah, right?
You just got to rubberneck sometimes and all
Johnny,
the devastation.
I don't know what Johnny is. But he's a busy guy, and he's a good friend, and so he was always around and was like, oh, I like this stuff, and we wanted that extra guitar sound, which he brought to the table, and really we took off, like, well, you know, when we got Johnny in, he added a lot, you know, it's like now we got that better wall of guitar sound.
Two guitars is never enough, you need three.
There you go, and you did pull it out, and... Play a little bit there too. Sounded good. So
I tried.
You almost
I
got
like the devil.
There you go. So what's going on around the Boston scene up there? Is there a good metal underground, good horror scene up there?
I don't know if I'd say good. I mean, Boston is always known for its being a music city. Obviously, you have huge bands like, you know, hate to say it, but Dropkick Murphys, and you have the Street Dogs.
Yeah, the
Kings of Nothing.
Kings of Nothing played here many times back in the day.
Our very good friends. So. You know, we're kind of trying to follow in those footsteps, and except now we have a lot of clubs closing, so, you know, we just try to get out and make people aware of live music, support all different genres, you know, because we're a little bit of this, a little bit of that, trying to keep the scene alive, you know.
Absolutely. Anything going on as far as a tour, or are you playing any of the bigger festivals going on through the rest of the summer? What's going on in the next, say, 3 to 6 months that you know of?
We're playing the Rockabilly Luau.
Luau up in New York?
Up in New York.
Yep, nice. That's the end of July, right?
Yes.
July
26th.
Yeah.
July
26th.
Anything else?
Yeah. Sure. That'd be at Milltown in August. That's
Sturbridge Mass.
Sturbridge Mass.
Johnny Carr Show / Rockwell. That's Milltown.
Very cool. I've seen somebody around with a Milltown shirt. I didn't know what that was, but
yeah,
that's
Milltown Inc. The guy Lance who runs it, he's a tattoo artist. That's his shop. But the Milltown Return to the Milltown Car Show is his big show. He does every year.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
We actually filmed a video recently at his warehouse space where he works on all his cars too.
Nice. So for people interested in maybe checking out that video or checking out any of the music you've got coming out or any new recordings or tour information, what kind of various websites, social media, anything like that, can people go out and catch you guys?
For any new recordings, I would go to Bandcamp. It's the Skeleton Beats 1, is in the number 1, .bandcamp.com. And obviously our Facebook, we will post our new videos and any new news on where we are playing.
Excellent. So just check out Skeleton Beats on Facebook and Bandcamp, and you're sure to find all that good stuff. Well, as I said again, guys, you guys totally rocked it. I had to stand there and watch the rest of the show, and I guess we'll all go in and watch the rest of more shows here at the Heavy Rebel Weekender down here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. My name is Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show, and we are out.
The Skeleton Beats, Succubus on the Big Scary Show.
I wanna see you.
Here's tip number 56. If life gives you lemons, try to find somebody with vodka, because that makes a delicious drink.
In a world of generic one-size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scared.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor. Videos and more, UnknownScareActor.com. The Hauntstrom medalist Jerry Vane. Pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at JerryVane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. News@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at TheBigScaryShow. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.